The Timberwolves' John Folkey is not only one of the best broadcasters in the business, but also KATE alumnus who got his start right here in Albert Lea.
Minnesota's defense, pretty solid. They held Golden State to just 42% shooting.
You've got to find ways to make that up in other areas.
14 offensive rebounds for 20 second chance points.
John Folkey has his finger on the pulse of the team every day up in Minneapolis, making him the perfect person to ask about everything Timberwolves. Every week, Kate Sports Director Nate Dickinson does just that.
Is it becoming any more of a more legitimate concern? Fans are expecting wins. Even if it is there anything you can really do about it?
This is the Wolves Weekly Update with John Folkey and Kate Sports Director Nate Dickinson.
Nate Dickinson here on KATE, bringing to you live a conversation with now the radio voice of the Charlotte Hornets, John Folkey. He's also a former sports director right here at KATE, and he joins us here on 1450 again. John, again, as I said when we first got on the air, congratulations on a huge job for you moving up to Charlotte and working with the Hornets. A big opportunity. I'm sure you're terribly excited and ready to get out and ready to work.
Yeah, it's two words, Nate, that I feel like I've never used in my entire life, and I have used nonstop over the last couple of weeks. And those two words are surreal and bittersweet. I mean, this is obviously something that I've had in mind and something I've been working towards for a really long time, you know, dating all the way back to when I was a kid growing up and decided this was the profession that I wanted to follow. And you know, NBA basketball and being a broadcaster for a team was something that I always had as a goal for myself. And, you know, there were some days where it seemed further away than others. And so the surrealness of actually sitting there and you know, having the opportunity in front of me was just wild. And then, you know, at the same time, as excited as I am about the upcoming opportunity, there's a bittersweetness to it because, you know, I think when I started my career in Albert Lea and at 1450 KATE and all the relationships that I was able to build there and connections that I was able to make and, you know, just at every stop along the way, the people and the relationships that you build and then, you know, 12 NBA seasons, 11 WNBA seasons with the Timberwolves and the Lynx and everything that we've done, you know, to build up our radio network and our broadcast and all those things that, you know, you're so proud of, and it's bittersweet to move on, and certainly from the people that, you know, I've worked with here for the last dozen years. So it's incredibly exciting. You know, I can't wait to get down there to start developing those relationships and connections with a totally different fan base and a brand new franchise for me. But at the same time, you know, certainly going to miss seeing so many familiar faces, and, you know, whether it's at games, whether it's walking my dog around the neighborhood or on the lakes or, you know, wherever it is, it's always great to see so many familiar faces. And so we're going to start that process all over again once we get down to Charlotte.
This is somewhere that you've been for a long time and know well. And obviously this is a dream job for you and for a lot of people who do this for a living. But again, it had to be the right place and the right time. What is it about both this job and right now that you think makes this the right opportunity for you to make this jump?
Yeah, I think, you know, you get to a point where you feel ready. And I've been very fortunate with the experiences that I've had and the steps that I've made along the way. And, you know, it started out broadcasting high school sports for the Tigers in the surrounding area and then taking that next step to doing some college stuff. And then, you know, making my way to the Timberwolves and Lynx in 2007 and starting out as the producer and then overtaking the studio host role and then eventually, you know, road games for the Lynx and then taking over all the games in 2015. So, you know, each year you just try to layer, you know, new experiences on. You try to stretch yourself a little bit further and, you know, build and grow each and every year. And so, you know, at this point I feel like the next step would be, you know, stepping into a role such as this. And I was very fortunate that the opportunity presented itself and I was able to land the job. And, you know, now I look forward to the next layer. What's next, you know? You know, taking over calling 82 games is a lot different than calling 34 of the WNBA. The rosters are bigger. The league is bigger. And so there's going to be some unique challenges in, you know, stepping into that role on a full-time basis, and they're going to be super fun challenges. So, you know, you just kind of get to a point where you feel like your experiences have put you in a position to take advantage of an opportunity, and then you just need the opportunity. And, you know, I was, again, lucky enough that the opportunity was there.
And we talked a little bit before we went on air about how this opportunity kind of came up pretty quickly, or at least you mentioned for a moment how it wasn't a very long process, at least for you, to get this one opportunity. Could you just dive into how long this took? How long of a process was this between you first getting in contact and finding out that you were going to be going out there?
Yeah, it you know, it happened pretty quickly, and I think, you know, those things happen, you know.
Right.
Every opportunity that you go through is a little different, and, you know, I think back to, you know, my time with the Timberwolves, that one took a lot longer, but, you know, I think in this case, it just happened fast, and, you know, going into it, I know for myself and my wife, we were both thinking, you know, this is going to be a long process, so we're just sort of preparing ourselves for, like, could be a couple weeks, and it was much faster than that, so... you know, just really excited about the organization and the people. I had a chance to meet a lot of the folks down there and understand what their vision for this position is and what their vision for the team is, you know, on the basketball side, on the business side, and just kind of how I can fit in and, you know, use the lessons and the skills that I've gained over 12 years working with, you know, the Timberwolves and the Lynx and bring those down to Charlotte and see how I can fit in, and I think it's just incredibly exciting, and, you know, had a blast getting to know the folks down there and really looking forward to teaming up with them for many years to come.
I'm sure you are, and I'm sure everyone here is looking forward to listening to you out there. I want to ask a couple of questions from your time being on the air here in Minnesota, though. Some of your best memories just from Minnesota, and if anything sticks out from here at KATE in particular, feel free to share as well, but what are some of the best memories that you've had or anything that sticks out from your time here?
Like on the radio or just in general?
Oh, well, I guess, yeah, I was going to go with just, I guess, on the radio, but yeah, in general.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, on the radio side, there's a ton, and obviously, like, the couple that jump to mind in Albert Lea, and these are ones that, you know, I when you talk about some of your favorite moments being on the mic, when the Tigers advanced to the state tournament for the first time, the hockey state tournament, finally got over the hump there in the section finals against Rochester Lourdes, and, you know, the game went into overtime. We're in St. Peter at Gustavus, and the crowd was incredible. The broadcast location was right in the middle of the stands, and it was awesome. Like, that moment was fantastic. And then, you know, getting to go to the state tournament and broadcast Albert Lea in the couple of trips that they made during that time that I was down there, those were really special times. And I know, you know, how much it meant to the community for that Tiger hockey team finally to get over the hump and get to the state tournament. And so, you know, that game, when they finally broke through in overtime, that game will stay with me forever because it was so, so intense and just so much fun to be a part of. And, you know, on that same note, when the basketball team made the state tournament, and it had been, you know, I don't remember the exact number, but like 40 years or something in between state tournament appearances. And that group, you know, with Ryan Moore and Parker Scopehammer and Matt Addington as the head coach, I mean, they were just a special group. And, you know, in my time down there, I got to know those guys, you know, that whole class really well. So they were an awesome team to cover. They were an awesome team to root for. And, you know, playing up here at the Target Center for the state tournament against Shakopee, I just remember sitting courtside and looking over at, like, the, you know, the end where they put the Albert Lea fans, and it was just packed, and it was so loud in there. And it was an afternoon game, so it was, like, maybe 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock tip-off, something like that. And it felt like the entire city was up there. It was just so much fun. You know, unfortunately, couldn't pull it out. And it's funny, Jamal Abushamala, who played for the Golden Gophers, was playing on that Shakopee team. And just through a weird series of coincidences, I've gotten to know him a lot over the last couple of years here in the Twin Cities. And we talk about that game all the time. And I always give him the business because Parker dunked on him really good. And And Jamal laughs about it, and he's like, I know, he got me good. So, you know, those are two that really jumped to mind in my time at 1450. And then, you know, on the professional level, I mean, championships with the Minnesota Lynx, those are so special. And whether it was 2011, the first time they broke through, whether it was 2015, when Maya Moore hit the game-winning shot in Game 3 at Indiana, and the Lynx, you know, won their third championship. They clinched it at home. The post-game party at Prince's house that night, that was incredible. And then, you know, 2016 and 2017 against the L.A. Sparks and the rivalry there. And, you know, I just remember, on a sad note, like, losing the 2016 championship on the NECA Gumake putback at Target Center. And just, like, sitting there and turning and looking at my wife who was at the game and just being like, what the heck was that? Like, that wasn't supposed to happen, you know? Lynx were down by, like, 7 or something. They went on a 9-0 run. There was a timeout. Like, all the stuff that happened, you felt like, okay, this is it. And then it didn't happen. And it was just shocking. Like, I was just dazed. I mean, we went across the street to grab a beer after the game, and, you know, the fans were, everybody was just dazed. And then to come back and win the championship in 2017 with the games at the XL Energy Center and, you know, clinching the championship in Game 5 at Williams Arena, I mean, that was incredibly special. And that group, you know, Cheryl Reeve and Shelly Patterson, Jim Peterson, James Wade, the assistant coaches, Walt Hopkins, and, you know, that core four, core five, when you think of Lindsey Whalen and Simone Augustus and Maya Moore, Rebecca Brunson, Sylvia Fowles. I mean, those are just incredible athletes, incredible human beings, and, you know, just such a fun, fun group to be a part of. And, you know, over the course of the summer, those guys, you know, the team and the support staff of, you know, Claire DeWillius and Aaron Freeman and Chuck Barta, the group that we travel with, they just become like family and so super close. So you definitely remember those moments in addition to the incredible games that you got a chance to broadcast as well.
From your time in the cities, and again, if anyone in Albert Lea sticks out, but anyone in particular that you found a liking to or was a favorite to either interview or just pick the brain of and try and just get some extra knowledge out of in your time working in the cities in Minnesota?
Well, I mean, there's so many people. And, you know, for me, particularly, obviously, like being on the NBA, WNBA side, you know, the two that jump to mind as far as, like, tremendous resources and people who have, you know, helped my understanding of the game grow so much are Cheryl Reeve and Jim Peterson. Cheryl, you know, was so good with her time and always taking the time to explain things and make sure you understood it. And, you know, I think Cheryl's just such a tremendous tremendous coach, but even, you know, more a tremendous person who really understands that, you know, as a coach, you're judged by wins and losses, but there's so much more to it. And, you know, one of the roles that she takes, you know, so seriously, besides being a great coach and general manager, is that of, you know, standing up for women's rights and also the understanding of how do we grow the game of basketball? How do we grow the WNBA? Whether it's through media coverage, whether it's through, you know, introducing young girls at a basketball camp or those types of things. And she takes that very seriously. And, you know, she's just so good with her time of helping, whether it's myself or other media members, to understand, you know, the game. And as they understand the game, they can communicate things better to the fans. Suddenly you've got a much more knowledgeable fan base. They understand what's happening. They get into it more, and it's just that grassroots kind of grow the game, and Cheryl's been tremendous at that. And, you know, Jim Peterson as well. Everybody knows Jim for his work as, you know, Lynx assistant coach and analyst for Fox Sports North, and he's just been an incredible resource in helping me understand things. And they, you know this, when you're a play-by-play person, you follow the ball, so you're constantly tracking the ball, and you know where that is. But you don't necessarily get a chance to step out and look at the bigger picture. And so, you know, at practices or shoot-arounds, Jim and Cheryl would, like, help me understand some of those other things. So while I'm looking for the ball, you know, can you also watch and see where this screen was being set or what this was or, you know, what they're trying, what action they're trying to get to or what they're trying to defend, those types of things. And You know, it just really, really helped open my mind to, you know, so much more, and hopefully it translates to just understanding the game a little bit more and not always just tracking the ball.
Well, I know everyone here in Albert Lea was happy to hear you learn at least hopefully a couple things while you're over here at 1450 AM as well. I know you've been getting a crash course in on the Hornets in the last, I don't know how long it's been, week or so now since you got the job, but, and I won't test you or anything like that, but give us a quick little, I guess, rundown of what to expect from Charlotte next season now that you've kind of gotten a chance to maybe a little bit dive into the books.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, much like the Minnesota Timberwolves, they've got a very pivotal offseason ahead. They've got some questions of, you know, their roster, guys that are free agents, Kemba Walker and Jeremy Lamb, guys that are restricted free agents. And, you know, they've got a first-round draft pick, two in the second round, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's going to be a pivotal summer. You start to make those decisions of, you know, who's coming back, what positions you target for draft and those types of things. But, you know, I think they've got a good young core, Miles Bridges, who, you know, a Michigan State guy that Big Ten fans have probably watched for a couple of years. I think he's got a lot of potential. They've got a couple of guys like Dwayne Bacon and Devontae Graham, who I think are good pieces. And those guys, you know, had a great end of the season and really helped that team get themselves back into the playoff picture. They came up short ultimately, but I think there's some really good potential there and some guys that developed over the last year plus. And I think that's going to be exciting for Charlotte fans. And, you know, we'll see what happens with the draft and free agency and see kind of what that group looks like moving forward. But, you know, I think there's definitely some potential there, and it's going to be a lot of fun once we get that ball rolling.
Well, John, I know you're excited to get out there, and they're excited to have you. Everyone here already knows that they're lucky to have you. And, of course, everyone in Albert Lea's just happy to have gotten you for at least a couple of years before you made it big time out there in the NBA. I personally thank you for everything you've done to help me out just here at the station and always willing to come on air and talk basketball, or really, I'm sure, anything if I had asked with you if you had the time. And, of course, I appreciate it, and everyone here does as well. So thanks again for taking the time, as always, to come here on 1450 today and throughout my time here and through sports directors before me as well. The story's always been that you've been good on coming on, and I know everyone here is going to miss at least hearing from you every once in a while.
Well, you know, I'm not dying, so.
That's true.
If you get a chance, give me a call. Like, it's okay. I'm always willing to come on and talk hoops or whatever. But
well, you're a busy guy, you know, now. You got too much stuff to do to worry about us.
It's never. You know, and it's just been tremendous. And I've had so much fun, Nate, whether it's you or Mitch or any of the other sports directors of the past, coming on and talking hoops and keeping the conversation going. It's always been a blast. And, you know, I hope we can continue to do that. You know, every once in a while check in, maybe like lead it up to a Hornets matchup or something like that. But, you know, I just think back to all the experiences that I had in Albert Lea and really how that helped set the table for the next step. And then that helped set the table for the next step. But, you know, it all started back on 1450 KATE. And I'm just, you know, so grateful for the time that I spent there, the teams that I got to cover, the things that I learned and the connections that I made. And, you know, like I said before, really, really excited to do that same thing once I get down to Charlotte and tell those stories. So hopefully we get to chat a couple times next year leading up to matchups between the Wolves and Hornets. And again, just, you know, thanks to everybody. I wish, you know, I was just talking to somebody. I was like, I wish I had time to swing by the station because I feel like it's been a long time and haven't had a chance to see a lot of my friends down there. So, unfortunately, we're running out of time to try and get moved out and everything. So hopefully we can chat a couple of times next year and then moving forward.
We'll definitely have you back on at some point, John, and you're always welcome into the station whenever you like to swing by, whenever you're back in town again. John Fokey, former sports director here at KATE, now the radio voice of the Charlotte Hornets. We'll miss him here in Minnesota, but I know they're getting a good one out there in Charlotte. We're going to take a quick break here on KATE. After that, an update from the Big Ten today here on KATE Radio.